scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. That's Matthew 19, verses 16 and 17. And it reads, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do, that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep thy commandments."
What a beautiful, nice Lord's Day it is. I think if I ever go into any other work, I'm going to become a weatherman. It's the only job that you can have and be wrong 90% of the time and still have a job. One other quick announcement. Katie Maddox has been collecting money for Andy and Lena Brewster at Augusta Road. Their child is... will be born there at MUSC sometime this month, and Katie is collecting money to get them some gift cards for gas and food while they're there. They're going to be there for about 6 to 8 weeks. The child has some serious defects, and it is going to be a strain. And so today will be the last day that Katie will be collecting any money if you care to give. There's also a card in the foyer for everyone to sign if you would be so kind as to do that. I know it would help them tremendously in this young family. You know, I grew up believing that if a person was good and kind and honest and gentle, that they were going to heaven. Nothing you could say was going to change my mind. Even if the person wasn't a Christian or even religiously inclined, I believed with all my heart that that person was going to heaven. Anybody who would even suggest that a person could be lost, I would ask the question, but wasn't they a good person? Didn't he care for his family? Didn't he care for others? Wasn't he honest? Didn't they obey the laws? And I wasn't alone in my feelings, as it, even today, the world will generally agree that these are sufficient grounds for salvation. But I need to make something very clear. One can be all these things and yet not be a Christian or get to heaven. Matthew 19, 17, Rusty just read, "There is none good but God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Christ repeated these words. God gave Moses similar words in Leviticus chapter 18. Verse 5, he says, "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." These words should cause us to take a pause in placing salvation on a plane of goodness. Because if we take that plane, we're going to be lost. The words that Christ spoke are not from me, they're from God. We can all agree that a man can have good morals without being a Christian. I'm sure we all know some really great people in our lives, tremendous people. And I think we can all agree that men should be law-abiding, that they should be honest, regardless of whether or not they're Christian. But we must also remember the Lord never promised salvation to to one simply because they were a good and moral man. One of the finest examples in the Scriptures is found in Acts chapter 10. A man named Cornelius. In verse 2, it just tells just how good a man Cornelius was. I think he would stand today next to a lot of people. Stand head and shoulders above a lot. But we go further down into the chapter and go into chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. He was instructed, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. This good and moral man was lost. And the only way he was going to be out of that lost state was to hear the words of salvation. You know, something is terribly wrong with our thinking when we hold the idea that moral goodness is a license to trample the Son of God by refusing to obey His will, to count the blood of the covenant an unholy thing by failure to come to where the blood can heal. We've all sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. Paul wrote this in Romans 3, verse 23. And everyone on the face of this earth stand in need of forgiveness, which is in Christ. In Ephesians 1 and verse 17, Paul writes, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. Until those sins are remitted, forgiven, we stand under condemnation and we cannot enter heaven. I know it's hard for some folks to understand. We have a good, a great and loving God. And many truly believe that this great and loving God doesn't want anybody going to hell. But the performance of good deeds never has and never can redeem a soul. If it could, then the death of Christ was in vain. God never promised forgiveness of sins outside of Christ. In Colossians 1 and verse 14, Paul says here, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This means basically that salvation is in the church of the Lord, because it is that institution which was purchased by the blood of Christ. Paul, when he's speaking to the elders in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, he says to the elders here, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. There are a lot, and of course, my way of thinking too, at a time in life, my earlier life, we could discount the church. It wasn't really that big of a necessity. Sure, it was good to go to church, but you didn't have to. But we just don't read and understand enough. Paul in Ephesians 5:23 says that Christ is the head of the church and He is the Savior of the body. Surely God must have known the value of the church in the scheme of redemption. And He gave His Son that men can be reconciled with Him, reconciled in that one body, the church. Ephesians 3:25 say that Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. We can't come to God with moral goodness. It won't get us there, but only through Christ. We use John 14, verse 6, an awful lot. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Anyone who thinks that they can crash the gate under the label of a morally good man needs to listen to the words of John 10 and verse 1. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. It's at this point that morality becomes immorality. The scriptures give us a lot of examples. Examples that takes morality out of the fix. Romans 15 verse 4. Paul says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. And there are tremendous lessons in the Old Testament. We can go back to Genesis chapter 6. We find here the account of Noah, where God told Noah of the impending flood and gave him instructions to build an ark that would save him and the world. I'm sure that there were many of his day. Of course, we find the end of the account. Who kind of scoffed at the idea of salvation being found in one boat. But it is what God decreed. God announced very clearly the location of that blessing. Couldn't find it anywhere else. In Genesis 7 and verse 7, we find that Noah and his family entered the ark because of the waters and the flood. Verse 23, those who didn't enter were destroyed. So then we can fast forward to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, which sometime were disobedient, but once long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. I'm sure that God could have given Noah an already stocked ark just by saying the words. Over the course of 100 years, it took Noah to build this ark. Many times, I'm sure, Noah talked to many people. We see the long suffering of God waiting 100 years to hopefully bring others aboard. And only eight were saved. In the very same way, Christ built one ark of safety, the church. Matthew 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. And then we go over to Acts 2:47, where he added to the church. Salvation has not been placed in any other institution, any other frame of mind. Christ became the Savior of the church, and as salvation from the flood was found in the ark, so as the salvation from sins can only be found in the Lord's church. Another example we can find, the location of blessings is found in Exodus chapter 12. The first Passover. Reading chapter 12, verses 3 through 30, we can read what God had required them to do. Something very simple. Just sprinkle blood, put blood on the door frame. You do this, and you will save your first bull. Now, there could be some reasoning. Why? Can't the angel of the Lord save my children without the blood? This stuff's going to stink. It's going to draw flies. It's going to draw the animals to my door. And I'm going to smell it for weeks. I don't want the bloody mess on my house. Surely that angel can spare my children. But was salvation offered to any house that did not have the blood located on the door? Ask yourself that question. Answer it with an honest answer, because it'll go a long way in obtaining forgiveness of sins. As the blood of the Passover lamb sanctified one house, so the blood of Christ purchased one church. Acts 20, verse 28. The blood of the lamb protected those in the house and sanctified it. And the blood of Christ saves only those within the church which he sanctified. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, verse 25. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it be holy and without blemish. We cannot be accused of placing limitations on God, because it was God who placed limitations on where he will save us. He decreed in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 that all spiritual blessings will be found in his Son. And since salvation is a spiritual blessing, it can only be found, as 1 Timothy 2 and verse 10 says, found in Christ Jesus. All of man's morality, all of his goodness cannot force God to move salvation outside of Christ. A good and moral man can become a child of God the same way the most vilest of sinners come in. In Galatians 3 and verse 26 to 27, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. God did not provide any other means to enter into Christ. None. This is the new birth that Christ had spoke of to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 5. I know Nicodemus had a little problem understanding how one can be born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. This relationship, this new relationship, is only found in one place. Foundation. You know, Dale and Kip Maddox, they build race cars. I've gone into the shop a few times and there's a frame and a jig. And you really have to sit there and watch them a while to understand what goes into a car. A lot of people that go to races, all they see is the outside of the car. They might see the engine. That's not the heart of the car. It's that frame. The measurements have to be exact. It has to be perfectly square and in perfect alignment. The welds have to be perfect. The steel used in it has to be perfect. If it wasn't, the car will go down the track at 150 to 200 miles an hour and go off the road. If the cage that man is riding in isn't perfect, he's going to die. God gave us the perfect framework for salvation. The perfect framework. It's not for show. Joel Maddox can tell you, he can paint any car you want brought in, and it will come out looking right. But if he hasn't prepared that body perfectly to accept that paint, it's going to end up like a 77 Chrysler product where the bumper's pitted within a year and the paint flaked off. The foundations that God gave us for salvation has a lifetime warranty. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Understand how important that is. How important that one verse is for salvation. And then we can rejoice in Revelations 22, verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city." That is what Christ said himself. And we can't discount it. I can't thank enough a gospel preacher in Oscoda, Michigan, that sat there and taught Vicki and I the truth about the Bible. Surely it took some time afterwards to learn more, but he gave us that foundation. That foundation that changed my way of thinking. That morality will not save you. Being a good person will not save you. Only through the blood of Christ. A lot of people discount this water behind me as something that is not necessary. That if you believe, you're good to go. Paul proved that you cannot pray your way to heaven. He spent 3 days doing it. And it wasn't until Ananias came to him and said to him, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized for the remission of sins." We can't discount those words. We can't. God's simple plan, the very foundation, the framework of salvation, to hear the word, to believe, to repent and confess, and then be cleansed in that water, represents the blood of Christ. That is salvation, and that is the only way that we can come to God. If there is anyone here this morning who needs to make a change in their life, who understands the need of that water, we want to help you become a child of God. Everyone in this world's God's children, but only those who follow His commandments is a child of God. We want to help you in that endeavor. If you need to know more, if you need to learn more before you take that step, we want to share the Bible and the Word with you. Help you understand the importance. If there's anyone here who is in need of the prayers of the congregation, you need to make things right between you and God, we want to give you that opportunity. If you have a problem with a brother or sister in Christ, I plead that you go and take care of that problem today with that individual. Don't delay. Don't delay. If there's anyone that has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.